Okay, Bonnie Evangelista again with the Chief Digital and Artificial Intelligence Office. I'm joined by, I don't think I can call you anything but sir, even though that is, I know you've since retired, but General Groen, the second director of the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, my predecessor organization, the JAIC. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks,
what a
Bonnie.
Fun surprise to find you here at DoD Advantage 2024. This is personally rewarding because I mentioned to you a moment ago, I also talked to Jack Shanahan, who was the first director, and you and just for people who don't know, Tradewinds and our team, the reason we are all here today doing what we're doing is because of you, Jack Shanahan, and some of our other predecessors as well. Like, this is super cool.
It's awesome to see you. Really glad that we had a chance to link up here. And like, there's so much goodness back in the early days.
Yeah.
You know, like when we really had a blank slate and we were really trying to, you know, change the universe in the department.
Yeah.
And, you know, that meant, you know, conquering all of the, you know, climbing all these hills of like functional problems, of regulation problems, of, you know, imagination problems for like, how do we actually do things in a different way? Because this was a, you know, this is kind of a recognition, like how transformational artificial intelligence and kind of related technologies are going to be. And so like, it was really kind of cool, wasn't it? To, you know, to take this green field and
Very cool. I'm still like, that's part of the reason why I think some of us are still here.
Yeah.
It's fun to imagine and create and build.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was, if you don't mind me dipping into the past a little bit, what was it like coming to the JAIC for you? And I'm kind of wondering, was it what you expected or, you know, where did, because this was a ton of gray space.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, it was nothing, you know, that I expected. It was kind of cool. I thought it was like a really good, you know, just a great convergence. You know, I'm a technical guy, and I've been a technical guy over time. You know, I came from NSA doing technical things, and so like it was a and I'm an intelligence officer by trade. So like process is kind of normal to me. Like how you get things accomplished, how you think through the threads of getting something accomplished. Mm. How do you get the right sensor on the right targets? You get the right information so you can have the right effects. You know, that's kind of like how an intel guy thinks. And so if you take that sort of that process thought. Process, then and then you stir in just enough technology, and then just enough of like vision, right? Because like I could see the vision of what the JAIC needed to be, mm-hmm. and I could see the vision of a department transformed, and so like I was really excited about that, and I think maybe that excitement kind of influenced like, hey, this might be the guy to do that, right? So yeah. So I mean, it was fun, you know, I'm nothing special, but it was just like, it just felt really good, you know, to share that kind of same sense of excitement, you know, technically informed excitement. It was cool.
Did you have that same not acceptance, that ability to embrace the new indifference that I feel from you today? Like when you kind of walked in, were you ready to embrace new and different, or did that kind of come over time?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think personally, I was eager to embrace, you know, different. All of us run into the brick wall of department process, right?
Yeah.
And so, and it's, you know, it's so deep and it's so centered on sort of like a 1960s view of defense, right? All the things we do. And, you know, I'm talking about acquisition, but I'm talking about just the way we're organized and how we approach problems in the department. It all would be very familiar to somebody who worked in the Pentagon in 1965, you know, and the next couple of decades where innovation came from inside the department, right? Like the department developed things, designed things, and then we built them and we integrated them. Now we're trying to take like a whole new technological approach, a whole transformed approach to like, how do you build capabilities in a digitally informed environment? And so like, it is a real cultural process, a cultural switch, and a process switch up, and people have to think differently about this. You know, what I always use the word transform. because transform means the form changes, right? Like transform. And so if you think about anything that we do today in any warfighting function or any process inside the building, we're in a place that we will be utterly transformed in, you know, a mm-hmm. matter of a decade or two decades. And so, like, I think all of us who are, you know, in the seat today should have that vision in our heads to say, like, wow, I am actually transforming the way we do things. And it will result in a modernized department, a more effective and lethal force, you know, like all the things that we know are critical. I think everybody plays a role in that, no matter where you are, because you're transforming the way we're going to do business tomorrow.
Yeah. Is there anything you're most proud of from the Jake days?
I am proud of people like you guys from Rock Island, like Will and you know, in segments, like we went at it with gusto, right? And, you know, you guys know this, you were there. You know, we went at it with gusto because, like, we could see the magnitude of, like, how big this problem was. And the department was not, you know, extending a helpful hand, right? Like, we had to earn everything that we did. And so, you know, the CDAO now, you know, has evolved. And, you know, there's, you know, and CDAO is doing bigger and more things. But all of that rests on sort of like the first, where we cut the first furrows, you know, in that green field to say, okay, let's do AI like this.
Right.
And we're going to need responsible AI. And we're going to need to be able to acquire in a new way. We're going to need to be able to, like, tie to functional communities, you know, that are getting warfighting stuff done. You know what I mean? So, like, that to me is really proud that we, you know, we kind of built that first awareness, like, yeah, something's different here. This is transformational.
Yeah. From my seat during the transition, it didn't upset anything we had started. It expanded it.
Yeah.
From my vantage point. So all the work, groundwork we had done from an acquisition perspective in my functional lane only benefited all the things CDAO, because we didn't start from scratch.
Right.
We had a lot of, to your point, some foundations that were, or some seedlings that were growing.
Yep.
And so by the time we transitioned to CDAO, they were becoming flowers to some degree. Maybe that's a poor analogy, but you're absolutely right. Like, even from our acquisition lens, we were kind of ready to go.
Yeah.
We had some ideas on how this was going to work, even though we had a lot of work to do from a collective CDAO perspective, like how we were all these new groups were going to work together. And we were still ready to support all of them.
Yeah.
And we had ideas on how to do that because of the work we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you see the threads. I mean, I just walked in here from listening to Craig Martell and some of the other like leading AI tech executives talking about kind of like process flow and what they're talking about now, you know, in 2024, it's exactly the stuff we were building the foundations for, you know, when we started the Jake. So I feel really good about the foundation that this rests upon. And I think the best foundation I can think of is in the minds of people inside the department. You know, you think about, like, you know, the Army Research Lab and, you know, the Navy's, you know, the NIWC, the Naval, I think, Information Warfare Command, and like all these other commands that were, you know, they existed. But now, today, thanks to a lot of, like, really good interaction across the department and stimulating thought about, okay, how we should do this, like we did that, right? Like we were poking people all over the place to think about it. They didn't always agree with us. In fact, you know, it's a point of pride in the department to disagree with, you know, the OSD. I like to say, like, the only thing that unifies the Department of Defense or the only thing that unifies the services is opposition to OSD.
Yeah.
So if you're Machiavellian, then if you're OSD, then you can leverage that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know the reaction you're going to get.
Yeah.
So how do you maneuver people then into the place that they need to be?
Right.
So that you're going to, you know, as a department, you're actually going to, you know, you're going to succeed, you know, in sort of like scaled accomplishments.
Well, let's talk more about imagination. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
to imagine require you were, and you were also just talking about different ways of thinking, having the right or a different mindset than what we've maybe had before to get a different outcome does require new ways of either thinking or driving ideas. Where do you want to go with that?
So I start with vitamin I deficiency.
Oh.
Right? And what the heck is vitamin
I?
Right?
You've heard like this. I feel like this is a new Will Roberts ASI video in the making.
It is. Well, yeah. I have a, we can go all down the line and all the vitamin deficiencies we have. Yeah. But vitamin I deficiency is a deficiency in imagination.
Yeah.
And what that means is like we fail to imagine what things could be like. Right. And that manifests a lot of different ways. You know, for example, you know, this whole AI transformation, a lot of people look at that like through the lens of tech adoption, right? Oh, well, I need to get some AI because I'm, you know, because somebody told me to or it's cool or whatever. And the answer is generally like, hold on a second. Just put the AI conversation on the shelf right now. Let's imagine how your function will operate in a transformed military capability set, right? If you're the artillery community, how do you get rounds on target today? And can you get rounds on target faster, you know, more accurately, make better decisions on the battlefield in your function? Like what would it take to make your function better? And if you start with that imagination, suddenly you can start to see like, oh yeah, you know, if I had this data, I could actually, you know, make my process run better. If I knew where all my ammunition was, I could make better decisions about where I moved my artillery pieces. If I knew, a much better target location, you know, with a much more, much more fidelity, then I could be more accurate, right? And people start to imagine like, oh, I can see it. We would be so much better if we did these things. That's vitamin I. And now it's like Popeye with spinach, right? you're too young for Popeye with spinach, but
he was around.
But all of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, I see it. And then it's appropriate to now step across the boundary to say, okay, technically, how do we get to this vision that we've created? And this applies to aviation, it applies to submarine operations, it applies to command and control, it applies to logistics.
Yeah.
It's like this the transformational vision that comes from vitamin I that now you can really change your universe, whatever functional community you're in. That to me is like really powerful. And that's what I think we started to do in the JAIC.
I agree. And that's what we started to practice at a practitioner level, I would say, even in a procurement function. And I'm smiling because like everything you were describing is how we write problem statements. So rather than telling people what we need, give me a thing, I like your language. Like, can we imagine what future state we want to get to and then describe to industry where we are? So, and this is classic Army doctrine, right?
Yep.
Current state, end state gap. Like, this is, but it's actually been not difficult, but when we try to have that conversation with customers, like, don't try to prescribe the solution. Just tell me the problem, like what the operational gap, the mission need, in a way you just described. It's not natural, and it's not like to your that deficiency is. We see it all the time, and that's definitely a skill. I do think that's going to be more prominent going forward in terms of. I'm not even sure how where writing requirements plays in, because everything's changing so quickly. It's going to be more need based and problem based, in my opinion. That could be an unpopular opinion, but exercising and practicing that skill in a way even the way you just described it, like, can you imagine a future state that is better than today?
Yeah,
start there,
right?
Like,
and very personalized, right?
Yeah.
To your function.
Yeah.
Right. It's not about, well, could somebody come up with a vision? No. You, your functional community, you figure out, you know better than anybody else.
Exactly.
So like, let's use your, you know, let's figure out your sense of like how things could change. And this is where like the 1960s culture still inhabit, you know, people, services, you know, services are generally very conservative, you know, and they've, you know, they've got hard won lessons and battles, you know, for 200 years. So you can't discount that, but you have to help people see, like, look, things are different. You have opportunities, you know, that you wouldn't. I love to, you know, talk about Lancers. Did you ever hear me talk about Lancers? Mm-hmm. Like Lancers, I had a great picture of Lancers on the eve of World War I. So Lancers, right, men on horseback with a lance, which is a big stick with an iron spike on the end, charging into machine guns that were machine, right? So it was a complete, you know, the battlefield and the environment, which is completely transformed, but they didn't know that, you know, or they knew it and they ignored it, right? Because the irony of like Lancers and, you know, early 1900s, 1910s, 15s, they had internal combustion engines and cars. They had airplanes that could fly overhead. They knew about machines, you know, because they did. So they knew the world was changed, but they failed to envision like how they needed to it. They needed to transform to succeed in this environment. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the wreckage of the Lancers, you know, littered the battlefields, you know, all over world, you know, all over France, right? Because they couldn't imagine.
These were our Lancers?
Well, these, in the case, my picture, else. They were French Lancers.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if the U.S. had Lancers, like, wow, back. But we had young riflemen, you know, with, you know, really not much more, single bolt action rifles, you know, for example, in an era of machine guns and poison gas and airplanes. Like this is the risk, right? The downside risk of like, if you fail to imagine, somebody else is going to imagine for you and they're going to win, right? Yeah. They're going to beat you because they've thought this through. We can't let that happen.
Yeah. Do you, I got stuck because like there's two things I want to say at the same time, but just to allow an example, and I don't like to toot my own horn all the time, but you
have rock star status.
Yeah. You even mentioned like just even imagining for your own functional lane, that is Tradewinds. Like imagined, how do we make this better for us? Not even for, like, I mean, of course, yes, for everybody else, but like, how do we make us as practitioners? That was the heart of it, I would say. And the genesis of all the experimentation that happened after that was just pushing boundaries in that way. And Jack Shanahan and yourself let us breathe while doing that. You know, like there was no pressure for an outcome, you know, because that wasn't your functional lane. You just said, go find the outcome that makes it better, which is not normal, right? I think that's very unique.
Well, that's what I think the Jake was full of, like unique people who wanted to make a difference. Not everybody, you know, we had plenty of sort of conventional conservative, like, oh no, here's the defense process for this. Right. Yeah. Like we had that. So we had to overcome that culture internally too. Right. But imagine, you know, think about like, you know, today, like, you know, we're in a conference, right. And there's lots of people outside this door. If you ask them what an OTA is, they'll know. They had no, you know, if you asked that question 2 years ago, they would have no idea what you're talking about. Right. So now all of a sudden, like these new mechanisms, I mean, the only people that haven't embraced that is the acquisition people, right? Right. Because
we're educating them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like this idea of you can be transformational in almost any aspect of our business. And you guys certainly have been. It's awesome.
So let me ask you, if you have any tips or advice for people out there who maybe aren't in that environment. That's not, you know, they don't have that kind of top cover or that kind of space from where, whatever their area of responsibility is to imagine, or maybe they can imagine and they don't feel like they can act on it.
Yeah.
Is there anything?
That's a great question. It's a hard one because, you know, everybody has a boss.
Yeah.
And some bosses get it and, you know, are running forward saying, hey, come on, follow me. You know, what, you guys aren't coming fast enough. Other bosses are very reluctant, not, you know, and, you know, in certain communities inside the Department of Defense where they're very comfortable with, with their process. I love to talk about also, comfortable irrelevance, right?
Ooh.
And the opposite of comfortable irrelevance is uncomfortable relevance, right? So like if you if you are comfortable, it might be because you're irrelevant, right? Nobody's knocking on your door, nobody's questioning you because what you're doing isn't changing anything, right? And so nobody, you know, nobody bothers you. And for some people that feels really good. You know, I show up at 9, I leave at 5. Nobody bothers me, you know, in the middle of the day. Like how cool is that? You know, some people think that way. We obviously don't, right? And the Jake obviously didn't, right? It's like, no. I want uncomfortable relevance. I want to be relevant in ways that it makes other people uncomfortable. And so they make, you know, and they push back on me. And, you know, like that's how you know you're actually getting something done, right? Is when people push back on
that's
you.
Fair.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. If you just push and nothing happens,
probably,
it's like,
probably
okay,
did. Yeah. I'm like, okay, what are we missing?
That's not transformational, yeah, right? So like, okay, how do I become, how do I make myself uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to climb that hill. I'm going to take on this bureaucracy. I'm going to create a mechanism that, you know, parallels, you know, the old process.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, you guys are masters at that. And then you make a couple of videos too and all the rest, right? Yeah.
And I mean, even the podcast started as a training tool.
Yeah.
That's why having conversations where there needed to be conversation about new ways of thinking and doing business or just being aware of what's out there. Like that's how it started. It was like, how do we do that? And I didn't say I want a podcast. That is not how it started.
yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
But once you get going, you know, now you start to build a community of interest. Yeah. You get, you know, like-minded people and they're out there.
Yeah.
You have to find them, but they're out there. People that want to change the world just as much as you do, right?
Yeah.
And so like now you, this little enterprise of people who give a shit, that little enterprise is really powerful, right? And more people that see it like, wow, you know what? I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the momentum that you guys have built. That's awesome.
So anything, surprises or key takeaways so far from the conference?
You know, here we are in 2024. I still think that we have a lot of vitamin I deficiency writ large across the department.
That's gonna be my new litmus test.
Yeah. I think the department, I'm, you know, grossly generalizing here, is really still focused on tech adoption. Hey, get me some AI.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Right. Maybe I don't need AI for this problem. Right. Like, give me some of that. So, I think it's important that, that we start thinking more through a transformational lens, right? Does my process require me to have AI? If it doesn't, great. Then I can save that expense, you know? So you don't, AI is not the magic ingredient, but AI can be transformational and it changes the way you manage your function, right? And so like that, we have to keep accelerating that. We have to keep people thinking about that. And in the department, you know, the irony is I think the senior leadership, the DepSecDef and the SecDef and the vice chairman of the joint staff, like I think in those places, the combatant commands, they're eager to transform. They want this, but they also have a bit of a vitamin I deficiency, right? I mean, they are the ultimate customers. I mean, you know, these are the people that are running the fight globally. Great. So, but they don't have a good sense for what's possible, right? Like how do you start building at scale, like an at scale enterprise that would allow INDOPACOM to make like really fast decisions based on all the data they have. Like that takes a vision sometimes it takes a while for that vision to catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any favorites so far from the conference though? Like that stuck out for you?
So today the large language model conversation was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because it was a sort of a representative of that dichotomy, right? Of there's a lot of people that look at LLMs, and LLMs in, you know, in the macro still have lots of issues that have to be worked out, but they still can be like a really functional component of like an enterprise, right? Like where the LLM is imposed, you know, where it should be, right? Where the risks are understood. You know, we're not in a place where we're automating warfare writ large.
Oh, yeah.
But we can automate small processes within warfare. And as you start to integrate and link those small processes together, now you start getting to like now you can really fight fast.
Yeah.
You can fight with greater accuracy. You can keep your people out of harm's way. You know, like those are the consequences of thinking through the lens of, you know, warfighting and process rather than, you know, LLMs are dangerous. Yeah. Okay. We all know that, right? Yeah. So the problem, there's the question is, okay, how do you bound it? And this is why, like the responsible AI work that we did, you know, and it's still in progress. That's another like real, I think, important legacy of the Jake. This like that whole ecosystem, the the autonomy directive from the department, you know, like all these other things, derive from threads or small little seedlings that we planted in the Jake, and now they're starting to hit maturity. And I think it makes a huge difference.
If you were to place any bets, what do you think things are going to start looking like if you were to imagine a year from now, 5 years from now? What do you think you're going to start to see?
I would love to. So I'll say JADC2 because I'm not afraid of that term. Like because I think it's really important. It really it's been distorted, you know, beyond recognition. But the idea of like integrated data environments, an Air Force sensor detects something and a Marine rifle squad has the ability to get that information and act on it. Like that sort of like at scale data environment and then the data-driven processes that derive from that environment. You know, you have to put the tracks down before you can start driving trains, right? So let's get the tracks down and let's make sure that we get them all at the same gauge, you know, and so like get all the services, you know, in the same sort of data environment, get the rule sets for data that can be used in decisions. Like this is complicated, difficult stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not unprecedented, right? You know, like the commercial industry does it every day. And so like this, you know, a takeaway from this conference is like, hey, there's so much commercial example, not that we have to just flip all of our, you know, process problems to industry, but we have to work in partnership, right? Like the people in the department still own the processes of how the department does things, how the department fights, how the services fight. So like, how do we get the right balance with industry partners who are not just, you know, they don't come in with a bag of tech. They come in with understanding that they need to learn something too, right? Because maybe I'm drifting a little bit, but like I hear a lot from the technology community. Like, you know, I don't know why defense just doesn't do this. You know, if they just bought my product or, you know, built this enterprise the way we would, they wouldn't have those problems. And usually those technology people have no idea of how things actually work in the department.
Right.
You have to have some understanding of process that exists before you can now start to instrument and integrate new platforms, you know, that can make those processes better. And there needs to be a lot of humility on both sides, right? Industry is full of brilliant people with great skills. Department of Defense is full of brilliant people with great skills that know how to operate a process that is, you know, has like deep roots.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't ignore that expertise, but we just need to find a way to kind of couple both of those sets of expertise together so that we actually can now feel like transform the way we do everything, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for catching up with me.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Thank you for giving me new language for, I feel like, being a defense maverick also means being an Imagineer.
Yes,
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Bonnie. Hey, you and your team have just done such miraculous things just over the last few years. Yeah. It's just really incredible. So you guys will be proud of this for a long time, right? Because, you know, from those seeds, those roots and those trees will grow and they'll crack the old foundations that were holding us back. And so it's really exciting to see where you guys have brought this. And more Mavericks are coming. You're making room for them.
I can't. More Imagineers. Yeah. I like that better.
Excellent.
Take care.